It's 6:23, Monday, June 4th, 2012. It's the meeting of the Single School Board Member Redistricting Steering Committee's public hearing in District 4. I'm calling this meeting to order, and noting that there is a quorum present. Madam Vice Chair, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance? Everyone, please stand.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Would staff member please call the roll?
Christine Dujakis. Russell Shard.
Here.
Marilyn Sultanifor. Barbara Jones.
Here.
Paul Eichner.
Here.
Kniff.
Here.
Lotha Krishnayer.
Present.
Mandy Wells.
Present.
Roland Folk.
Present.
Roosevelt Walters.
Here.
Philip Busey.
Here.
Sheila Rose.
Here.
Ron Aronson.
Here.
Mary Furtick. Michael Zabuccia.
Present.
Alan Ehrlich.
Here.
Marcia Ellison.
Here.
Michael Rayner.
Present.
That completes the roll call for this evening.
Thank you. Corey, the agenda for this meeting was distributed to all members. Are there any questions or amendments to the agenda? Hearing no amendments or questions on the agenda, without objection, the agenda for this meeting is adopted as presented. Moving to item 5, approval of the May 17, 2012 minutes. The minutes of the May 17, 2012 meeting were distributed to all members with the packet for this meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes of this May 17, 2012 meeting?
Yes, the only correction was sent in by Ms. McDougall, and that's on the top of page 6, which is corrected in the packets for your materials. It says the May 9th meeting minutes were approved as corrected by the committee, as opposed to adopted, approved as adopted. Just a syntax issue.
Are there any other corrections to the minutes? Hearing no corrections, the May 17th meeting minutes are approved as corrected. Hearing no further changes to the minutes, without objection, the minutes are approved. Moving into public hearing, in order...
Mr. Chair, would it be out of order to introduce the new members?
We could do that at this time. I was actually planning to do that under the chair's report.
Okay.
But if actually prior to then, where we may be getting into questions, I'd be more than happy to. Jill, if you'd like to introduce the new members.
For District 4, we now have with us Mandy Wells. If you can raise your hand and say hello to everybody.
Hello,
and thank you for representing District 4. Donna Korn in District 4. And representing Ms. Nora Rupert in District 7, we have Mr. Ron Aronson.
Yeah, we have one vacancy remaining, and that's in District 6, which I know the board member did express that she is continuing to look for someone for that vacancy. So, we're going to move back to our public hearing, which is item 6 on your agenda. In order for the meeting to operate in an appropriate professional environment, we respectfully request at this time all beepers, cell phones, and other electronic devices to be either turned off or put into the silence mode. And if our District 4 representatives would please provide the committee and audience an overview.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening and welcome. I'm Laka Krishnayar, representing District 4, appointed by School Board Member Donna Fawn. The Redistricting Steering Committee consists of 19 appointees, two appointed by each school board member and one by the superintendent of schools. The Broward County Redistricting Steering Committee was established by a resolution approved by the School Board of Broward County on October 18, 2011, to study the matter of changing the boundaries of the 7 single-member districts based upon the 2010 census and advise the school board on recommended changes. With your help, the committee will develop a 7 single-member redistricting plan from the data received from the 2010 federal decennial census and make its report to the school board of its recommended changes no later than the first regular school board meeting in December 2012. The recommendations of the committee are advisory only and are subject to revisions and amendments by the school board. What is redistricting? Redistricting is the process of redrawing the lines of districts from which public officials are elected so that there is a balance in the population within the newly formed districts. The goal of this process is to ensure that residents have equal representation on the school board. School board member voting districts does not impact student attendance boundaries or bus transportation. Current U.S. Census data. According to the 2010 U.S. Census, school board member districts 2, 3, 5, and 7 are above or below 5% of the total district population average. Proposed changes to the single board member districts will modify the geographic areas from which school board members in districts 1 through 7 are elected. Seats 8 and 9 are countywide and will not be impacted by redistricting. New single board member districts should be equal in population as much as possible while providing all citizens the right to be equally represented. Guiding principles. The committee in developing its recommendations shall take into consideration the school board redistricting guiding principles when building new single member districts. The school board has recently amended the guiding principles to allow for more clarifying language. Florida state law requires the following single board member redistricting requirements. New school board member districts must be drawn so that their populations are as close to being equal as possible. Changes must take place in an odd number of years. Serving board members would not be disqualified for the term in which they were elected should a change affect their residence qualifications. There are to be 7 single school board member districts represented by members who are elected from the district in which they reside. 2 additional board members will represent the county as a whole for a total of 9 school board members.
Good evening. My name is Mandy Wells, and I'm also representing Donna Corn in District 4. Compliance with Public Law 89-110, Voting Rights Act of 1965, is also required to be followed. The following Florida constitutional provisions may also be considered when drawing new districts. A. No apportionment plan or individual district shall be drawn with the intent to favor or disfavor a political party or an incumbent, and districts shall not be drawn with the intent or result of denying or abridging the equal opportunity of racial or language minorities to participate in the political process or to diminish their ability to elect representatives of their choice and shall consist of contiguous territory. B. Unless compliance with the standards in this subsection conflicts with the standards in subsection A or with the federal law, districts shall be as nearly as equal in population as practicable. Districts shall be compact, and districts shall be, where feasible, utilize existing political and geographical boundaries. C. The order in which the standards within subsections A and B of this section are set forth shall not be read to establish any priority of one standard over another within that subsection. The Broward County School 4 District will look at guiding principles important to the Broward County School District, which include the following. Alignment of single-member districts with high school innovation zones allows school communities to be represented by one board member with minimal disruption where possible. Alignment of single-member districts with equal numbers of schools within a district wherever possible, and preservation of communities of interest wherever possible. Beginning in January and February 2012, the redistricting committee will hold orientation meetings and public hearings to familiarize the public with the process of single school board member redistricting in Broward County. The committee will meet no more than twice per month and at no fewer than 7 public meetings held throughout the county from March through July 2012. The public is encouraged to attend any or all of those meetings where draft proposals will be presented and commented on. For more information on how to create and submit a map alternative, or just comment on an existing one, please visit the district's redistricting website at www.broward.k12.fl.us/redistricting or telephone Patrick Seifel at 754-321-2480. Public mapping workshops and public two-hour mapping meetings may be attended to assist you in creation of a new single-member map. Following the school board member election process in the fall, the school board will workshop map proposals they would like to see move forward. The process is scheduled to conclude when the school board votes on a new single-member district map at a regular school board meeting in early 2013. Thank you for being here today, and thank you for your involvement in this process, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Lisa. I have some additional instructions. Presenters of map alternatives, in accordance with the committee's adopted rules, will have up to 5 minutes for your presentation. Following each map alternative presented, members of the public wishing to comment on the specific map alternative will have up to 2 minutes. Those wishing to speak should use the microphones located on either side of the room, which right over there and there. Speakers will be called to the microphones by name in the order that they appear on the sign-in sheets. Jill, where are the sign-in sheets?
They're around on the podium. I have stuff on my phone already. Anybody else can just raise your hand.
Yeah, so there's a podium in the very back of the room for members of the public. If you wish to speak, just please sign up on there. But it's not necessary. As some of this goes, you may want to still speak and not be planned ahead of time. Speakers are requested to state their name and address before beginning their comments. Each speaker is limited to 2 minutes and will be advised when 1 minute remains. When the time limit has been reached, speakers will be notified by the chair to conclude their comments. Speakers may comment on the presented map alternatives immediately following each presentation. Comments should be limited only to the map alternative being presented. After the committee has heard all map alternatives noticed on the agenda and public comments on those map alternatives, the public will be provided an additional opportunity under public comment to make a general comment on the redistricting process or comment on a map alternative previously presented. Speakers are asked to refrain from the use of inappropriate language or behavior. We ask that you model the district's 8 character traits: cooperation, responsibility, citizenship, kindness, respect, honesty, self-control, and tolerance. We are asking all speakers and audience members to extend every courtesy to each other and to the members of the redistricting steering committee, and the same courtesies will be extended to you. And before we go on any further, I just want to apologize for the room change and the late start, which is kind of why I'm a little bit still just calming myself and looking rather relaxed as far as my dress attire. So you may want to loosen your ties if you're wearing ties. I apologize for the heat. There were some unplanned circumstances with the room that we had prior, and this was actually the better of the two alternatives, and we had to make a lot of modifications in the room to make it a more comfortable space even then. So with that, if I could invite for 6.3, I'm sorry, 6.2, if Mr. Folks, present maps alternatives 2 and 3, please. And just before Mr. Folks begins, Patrick, can you advise where the members of the public can find the map alternative if they want a hard copy?
Yes, if you'd like a hard copy, we have, unless I made one to you prior, we do have some packets that may appear that you have the map alternatives in them. Does anyone need a copy of the map?
And one of the things I failed to do in the beginning of this meeting, if our interpreters can stand and offer your services, I don't believe those needs are, that is needed today, the services, but I want to make sure if anybody is here that they make themselves available. Thank you. Mr. Bucks, go to the microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good evening, everyone. First of all, I want to thank Pat Sippel and Joe Young for their help in sitting down with me and going through the process of transforming a hard copy, hand-drawn idea into what you see this evening with all the data and everything. That was done at the last map-making workshop at Monarch High School a couple of Saturdays ago. I have a prepared statement, and then I'll just speak specifically about the configuration and the data related to it. But first of all, I just want to say that there's nothing new under the sun. This format is nothing new. As a child, I spent a lot of time learning about how people configure their living arrangements. I'm an anthropologist by training, looking at geography, social geography. And I was always fascinated with ancient Israel and something called the Ezekiel's vision. And if you think about the geography of Israel, there's the Mediterranean and then, of course, back up into the Jordan River. And along that strip of land were the 12 tribes of ancient Israel: Dan, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Ephraim, Reuben, Judah, Levites, Benjamin, Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun, and Gad. Now, it's been reconfigured in different ways in other maps, but this is one that I enjoyed and has stuck in my mind for decades, really. Now, with respect to Broward's rich human, ethnic, and cultural diversity, consider the Census 2000 facts, going back 10 years. Broward County, together with Miami-Dade County, sits in one of the middle of this nation's 10 most ethnically or multiculturally significant markets and regions. Two, Broward ranked 11th or 15th of the nation's diverse, 15 most diverse counties in the nation, and was the third most diverse county in the state of Florida, 67. Four, on any given day, Broward School represents over 170 nations, and students know or speak over 80 languages, we're told by the school board. And that those figures still are fairly consistent. Five, Broward County, South Florida, executes international trade with over 100 nations, according to World City Magazine. And six, despite all of that diversity, Broward County ranked number one statewide for three consecutive years in the number of documented hate crimes against Black Americans of African descent, the homeless of all colors, ethnicities, and nationalities, gay, lesbian, transgender individuals, according to the Florida State Attorney General. Now, based on data emerging, and we're still getting data for Census 2010, Broward's diversity is as rich as it was in 2000. However, that diversity is distributed throughout the county, present in at least 28 of Broward's 31 municipalities. Of course, Broward's least racially, ethnically diverse communities may be Highland Beach, maybe Lauderdale-by-the-Sea, maybe Lazy Lake. Along and throughout the east-west boulevard orientation of the proposed new districts are an array of wealthy, middle-class, impoverished neighborhoods and enclaves fully representative of and inclusive of Broward's age, gender, color, ethnic, national, family structure, faith, occupational, and educational diversity, among others. Furthermore, with respect to Broward's equally rich and even greater biodiverse yet fragile ecosystems, namely our beaches, intercoastal and other waterways, the New River, Water District's canals, Biscayne Aquifer, remaining undeveloped green spaces, city, county, regional, state, and national parks, drylands and wetlands, marshes, etc., each school board member would, as each should, have an elected, and vested interest in securing and sustaining, maintaining, and enhancing these quality of life and sense of place enhances. These engines of economic activity, productivity, and profitability, including Port Everglades on the east, the International Airport, and the Everglades out west. And simply, the idea of looking at existing maps, to me and others, did not make sense, still do not make sense. The way our county government's structure exists do not make sense. And simply looking and keeping in mind the changes that have happened in the diversity, the distribution of diversity over time, the thought was, well, let's see what, if we just went along the boulevards, the major boulevards, to see where people are, where schools fit, where the innovation zones are. And the result are the alternative 2, 6.2, and the two other maps. And the data that was provided through the GIS process, again, thank you, Pat, suggests, if you look on page 12 of 25, I don't know if they have the same for the members, 12 of 25, the total population for 2010 in each of the seven districts is fairly evenly distributed. And so compared to the current diversity and what's proposed in the alternative. And then you look at the distribution of the various racial and ethnic groups, and they kind of pan out fairly evenly. There's some one or two areas where there's room for growth. I believe that was how it's explained to me. But otherwise, there is no conflict. All of the needs, the compactness, the contiguity is there. It may mean, ultimately, that some school board members currently serving may need to move into a different neighborhood, but we haven't really gotten that far. That's not really a concern at this point. But looking at the distribution of the population across these new seven, or proposed seven districts, it makes clear and sensible evidence that perhaps it is time to break out of the existing way of remapping, of tinkering with existing maps and think completely out of the box in a different, completely different way. And that's what this alternative does. And in terms of the schools, again, the numbers are fairly similar to current districts, all the way across, from elementary to charter.
Now, actually, Mr. Brooks, if you could also then go into, is there normal rules that we adopted was 5 minutes per presenter, regardless of the number of maps? So that's why I was just trying to highlight that. We're already at 7.5. But if you can quickly...
And that just points out my interest in this second version. This was another way of looking at how the maps could be configured in Broward County for our new school district. So the idea is I have nothing really more to say than what is presented. The data speaks for itself. But this is another way of perhaps thinking about configuring our districts, our new districts. Although this is less of a preference of mine than the first one and others in the community. So again, it offers alternatives.
Thank you, Mr. Brooks. Mr. Brooks, would you mind submitting your written statement as part of the minutes? I know that it had a lot of...
Please. Please.
Okay. Well, it'll help staff as well. But I think there were a lot of...
Please.
There are a lot of great points in there that we should capture, and I'd like to make sure that's included. At this time, I'd like to open the floor for a public comment for any members of the public who wish to comment. Mr. Aronson?
Yeah, just a couple quick questions. This is my first time. This goes in effect, the new districts that submitted to the school board goes in effect starting January 2013, right?
No. The process is we are going to be taking input from the public, receiving map alternatives from the public. We will be weighing those out, I'll go over some additional steps in the chair's report of the outcome of school board workshops last week, the week before.
May 22nd.
Sorry, these weeks are just flowing. So 2 weeks ago. And what we will be doing is coming up with maps as a committee if we determine so, and then sending our recommendations to the board. The board will workshop them in, I believe, December. And then at that time, the board will then push whatever proposals they'd like to see go forward as a board from that workshop, and they'll be posted for a public hearing by the school board at some time in early 2013. So by Florida state statute, as it was explained by our District 4 representatives, any changes to the school board's members' boundaries can only occur in an odd number of years as to when they'd be adopted or changed.
So what happens to school board members that
the school board members currently in that district are protected for the remainder of that term should they be districted out of, should they be mapped out of that district?
So either 2 or 4 years?
They are permitted to continue the remainder of their term that they've been elected to. Right.
Okay, thank you.
So, is it important or can we go to the members of the public first?
No, you can go to them.
Okay, so I'm going to come back to the committee after. So, members of the public, there's microphones on either side. If you're like, oh, we do have some people signed up, actually. And if it was a general comment, please let me know and I'll call you up at the on item 6.5 when we have general public comment when it's not pertaining to a particular map alternative. Jeannie Jessica?
Yeah.
Okay. Rose Walters? Waters?
My name is Rose Waters. I live at 615 Northwest 10th Avenue in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I'm going to go with, I'm looking at the alternative two map, and we're dealing with the city boundaries. And with the city boundaries board number two map, we see Cross Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Hollywood, Pembroke Pines, that just those right there, they have at least three of their cities are going into three different city zones. Mm-hmm. And then most of them are going into two. they're breaking up. And I thought one of the things was to try to keep as best as possible the cities all into one particular, city, as opposed to dividing them into different, breaking up the cities into different districts. So I'm looking here at Carr Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Hollywood, Pembroke Pines, at least look to me to be in three different districts, as well as a lot of the other ones are in two different districts, and that's on alternative two map. And then when you come, although I'm not too concerned about the innovation zones, however, you have a lot of the innovation zones, you have Fort Lauderdale that will with this particular one. We'll be having at least three representatives, and you have South Broward that will also then will have to have three different representatives, and then in most cases with the others you will have at least two representatives, with very few with one. And I know that I'm not too concerned about that, but that is something that I know that you say think about, and with what I'm looking at, you say to think about it. Much thought wasn't given to that when it comes to that particular area, in thinking about that. And then with the other map, which is the alternative three, in that you have the city zones, the city boundaries, if you will. Some of those, like you have your Davie, your Hollywood. Your Davie have four, Hollywood have five, and it's going into different districts, five different districts. Davie in four different districts. Pembroke Pines is in four different districts. And then you have a number of three districts, like you have Parkland and Coral Springs, Tamarack. Then you have your Lauderdale Lakes. those are in three, and then you still have a number of them that, that rolls over, if you will, into two different districts. So you have a lot of district going on there that's, you know, it's not compact. And then when you're dealing with here with the innovation zone, again, I'm not giving much, you know, to the innovation zone, but, you know, it said be considerate. So in that consideration, you can see here that in your plantation, you will have four different representatives. Oh,
I apologize. You were on a roll. I didn't want to cut you off.
I just want to make a comment. I think our rules said that we would give the presenter 5 minutes from his mouth, we would give the audience 2 minutes. He presented at least 2 minutes, but he should at least have 3 minutes.
She's taken over three minutes. I didn't stop her, actually. Patrick did.
Okay. All right. I just want to make that
she only indicated the time.
Yes.
But it is something actually that we as a committee, we did not foresee that part as far as when the committee, the public responds. And if that is the will of the committee to give members of the public up to 2 minutes per alternative, we can do that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then we will... Right. We will then do that. Okay.
And Mr. Chair, on the rules involving 5 minutes per presenter, I can only interpret this as the presenter of the map, because if that person should come back to the next meeting and present another map, they would technically have 0 minutes.
The rules we adopted, the presenter per meeting are given up to 5. Okay, the actual, would you read the rule?
Under step 4 of the process, the map creators are allowed 5 minutes to present their map options.
And that's per public hearing, which is what the discussion at the committee level was.
The word options.
Option is the same as alternative.
It doesn't say that. If that was what was intended.
It was not. That is the intention of each map alternative.
Okay. New business, I'm going to make a motion.
Okay. To change it. So are there any other members of the public? We have, Jerry Graziosi, our commissioner. And it's to this map alternative?
Yes.
Okay.
Close your
phone.
It's
her heels.
That's right. If I have extra time, I'd like to give it to Rose. I just wanted to bring up a couple points after we reviewed it. One, it goes back to a lot of things Rose just mentioned. Go ahead. Oh, my name is Jerry Graziosi. I live at 1560 Southwest 63rd Avenue, North Lauderdale, Florida, Zone 4 in my neighborhood. The rest of it's in 5. One of the issues that, after looking at the map, we feel, again, after looking at 6.2 and 6.3, that alternative 1 still comes closer to all the guidelines that were required for redistricting. A lot of the items that Rose brought up was, one, you're going to end up with 6.2 and 6.3 with people voting for members that don't represent their schools. And you're splitting up cities, you're splitting up zones, as Rose mentioned on that. One of the other issues that we saw after looking at 6.2 and 6.3 on McFax, in both 6.2 and 6.3, you have Zone 2 with over 10,000 people less. In Alternative 1, that's more than double. We had nothing in Alternative 1 that exceeded 5,000. In your diversity, in 6.2, you have an area now that's at 7%. Nothing in Alternative 1 dropped below 10%. So there's some issues with diversity, with the numbers there. There's some issues with the population. You're going to have one zone with over 10,000 people. That's going to put us right back in the same boat we're in now that we're trying to correct. You're supposed to get that population down as close to equal as possible. And splitting up the cities, again, we tried an Alternative 1 to keep the innovation zones in the cities so that the people do have consistency and to be able to help take care of their own area and stop splitting the cities up so that they have one school in one district and 4 schools in another district. So these are issues that we see that's happening again with 6.2 and 6.3. Those are the major things, and I'd like to give the rest of my time to Rose.
Actually, we're not passing time. That's one of the things that we're
not
going to do. But,
did I cover it?
No, Rose, you'll have another opportunity to speak and general comments. So I'd suggest then if you want to use the rest of that time.
I want to thank the committee you're doing. I tell you, this is a very difficult job. that you probably noticed going through the process. Thank you.
David Thomas?
That's the gentleman.
Okay.
Sorry.
One of the things first I just want to respond to Rose's public comment is, just so you know, no district has just one board member. There are two at large. So in addition, while there may be one district, or no matter how many districts a particular city may go through, you always have two at large in addition to that. So there's also additional representation, but it's just not at the district level, which was the one thing. So was there anything in particular that needed to be responded to technically? All right. Committee members, on the map alternatives.
Yes.
Mr. Busey, and then Marilyn.
Okay. Under the law, the voting rights is one of the most compelling forces in the work we do, which, not to paraphrase it exactly, but basically not to dilute ethnic, racial, or language group minorities, the right to fair representation, which some people over the years, particularly like the county commission redistricting, where we've been through a very divisive process, feeling has been that having a minority majority district is one way to accomplish that. And another one of our committee members talked earlier about packing, tracking, and stacking. I just wonder, you know, with this map, there is no minority majority district. How do you reconcile that with the voting?
It's on purpose, because again, I'm not trying to reconcile it with the Voting Rights Act. I'm not sure that's what my focus was or our focus is here. But the reality is that Broward County's demographics have changed. And although in our minds where people have been living for decades, I was born here. I was born in racially segregated Fort Lauderdale. I knew where the boundaries were just because of the law. That has changed. Every community, there are black people, Hispanics, black people from the Caribbean. I grew up in two communities. My grandparents came from the Bahamas, my mother's side from North Florida. They were traditional African Americans. We all lived in the black neighborhood, bounded by Broward Boulevard to the south, Sunrise Boulevard to the north, 441 and the railroad tracks, Andrews Avenue. That was it. And many of us who grew up, and I still live in that neighborhood, by the way, and many of us who grew up there and have lived in other similar neighborhoods have not unleashed our minds, so to speak, to look at really what's happened, has happened in this county over the last 50, 60 years in terms of where people are living. And for me, if it were up to me, there would be no districts. It would just be everybody would serve at large. Because there's a problem with parochialism and a problem with very narrow-mindedness. Through the diversity committee, I get to go to all schools around the county. And, you know, one school board member, Pat, oh, this is their school district, or this is their school. No, it's all of your schools, whether you're public, district-wide, or not. So if it were up to me, we wouldn't have districts, but that's the context that we're working within now.
But that's not the... Out of the redistricting process, I just want to emphasize, right, we are not
here to change.
One of the things is not for us to consider whether to do away with school board member districts individually. That is not something this committee's been charged. That is something that the board would have to decide and send to the voters as a ballot initiative. That is not within our purview.
And I would
ask
this to background.
Right. No, I understand. But I'm just trying to make sure that the comments are succinct to the response.
So there is no response to your particular question, except this is a reality of 2012 and will be so for the next decade. And we may even see more changes and transitions taking place as new people come in, as people leave old neighborhoods and move into other neighborhoods. And that's what's happened. And that is what has happened.
Appreciate it.
Marilyn?
Yes, mine is more of a question than actually a comment, or could be considered both, actually. When maps are being presented, and such as alternatives 2 and 3 that can impact cities in this way, are cities being advised that these are possibilities? Because one of the issues that has come, at least before me, many times, is the lack of communication between the school board and the cities. And I don't want to leave them out of the loop
Let me I'll respond to that. Commissioner Graziosi is shaking his head no, but I'll actually disagree. City commissions have been reached out to both by staff. I've emailed them myself. We've gotten, aside from Commissioner Graziosi and maybe one or two other city commissioners, very little interest by city commissions in this entire process. Now, as to whether they're notified actually when a map is happening, cities have been put on notice that this process is underway right now, and that it is they have the opportunity to provide input during these stages. You know, everybody has seen the community letter. It's been sent to elected officials. Committee members have forwarded on. I know that various committee members have appeared before the mayor and commission in their respective cities to also alert them. I know I've reached out to several electeds, including the League of Cities. I know one committee member has stated that the League of Cities doesn't even want to go anywhere near this or touch it. So it's not a... So to say that they did not know about this...
No, I didn't say
no,
that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying that the general... There's a lack of political will of cities, I think, in general, to engage in this way, in a respectful way. And well, the opportunities are there. Now, one of the things, as far as when these maps come out, one of our recommendations could be to the board is to make certain that they reach out to the cities to provide all the different map alternatives that will be workshopped and that there be an effort to ensure that they notify the city managers to notify the commission before the public hearings are scheduled.
I just want them to, I want cities to have the opportunity to give comment prior to a recommendation being made so that they're at least on the record.
I'm, you know, you can only babysit city commissions so long. I have heard time and time again from city commissioners personally that they don't want to go anywhere near this. And if they do not want to demonstrate the same leadership that Commissioner Graziosi is doing by attending and being involved in these things, I don't know what we as a committee extra can do. Our meetings are public. They are open. We have several members of the public. We actually have probably the best public participation or attendance we've had so far. And I don't know any more we can do. And if I could remind you that our last meeting in Fort Lauderdale City Hall, we had two members of the public come, not even the educational advisory, not one city employee of the city of Fort Lauderdale attend, and it was in their own city commission chambers. So for any city commission to say that they're not notified is really not a fair reflection of the outreach that we have done. And
I don't think that's what I said. I don't think that I said
I do hear what you're saying.
A city commission has not been notified. I think what I said was they've been notified of the process, but as maps come forward, if they could be made available to them, that's all.
They are available. They're on the website. We've asked the cities to remain involved in the process, as every other member of the public. So, you know, so are there any other committee members?
Yeah.
Mr. Walters.
One. I think the two speakers from the public did an excellent job in critiquing. I just want to remind us that some of the things, the principles are suggestive in nature, but when it comes to the Civil Rights Act or the Voting Rights Act, those things are not suggestive. They are things that we must do in order to be in compliance with federal and even state law.
Patrick, can you pull up the guiding principles while Mr. Walters is speaking so the public can see?
So I don't want the public to go away believing that we can ignore those things because we cannot. And one of the things that is stated in the Voting Rights Act is community of interest. And when we look at the two maps that was presented by our presenter, I would say that the community of interest is simply not adhered to. When we look at, let's say, District 3 on 6.2 on page 9 of 25, when we look at that, we start at the beach and we end on the backside of Weston. And it's easy to say, well, those who live along the beach, they may or may not have good financing, but they indicate that they have it. And when we look at those who live out there near 27, the same thing applies. But those little folks that live between University Drive and East all the way to Federal Highway, it's kind of like the burger between the buns, and they're going to be eaten. It's just what I believe. And the same thing applies when I look at the map that run north and south. There is not much that's going on at the north end of Broward County and the south end of Broward County that is equal to what is going on in central Broward. I'm just being fair. And those are my comments, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Walters. Any other committee members? Sheila, you had your hand up first.
Very briefly, I think that, you know, my compliments to you for this alternative, because I think it's the most out-of-the-box thinking that we've done, and I think it is a really great exercise to force us to think about this. And in part, I think it should be part of the message. I, however, don't think that it's practical, because I think as an advisory board, these ideas, I think, need to be moved forward, because I think we've all sensed that there's a problem with the communication between the cities and the school board and the parochialness. And I think as a message piece, I think you're dead on. I do think that as we get into the issues associated with local governments and communities of interest, we're going to find that it doesn't adhere to those principles. That would be my opinion. But I compliment you, and I think it's a great message piece.
Russell?
Yeah, Russ Chard. Whoops. I agree with what she said, and actually want to expound a little bit more on what Roosevelt had said. I've looked at it. I've tweaked around with my district builder, and what you did is not an easy task, and I admire the effort that you put into to give options, and I despise gerrymandered districts, so something that offers a simple or more simple approach to it, hats off to you for a valiant effort. I would also have the same concerns, though, that the cities are carved up too much, and one of the principles that we're supposed to adhere to is compact districts and community of interest. And looking at the two most southern districts, from the populated area of the on the west to the beach, they're 20 miles wide, and at some points 2.5 to 3 miles north to south. And I just don't know how that would apply or adhere to the compactness rule. And again, like Roosevelt said, I don't know how a kid living east of Federal Highway in Hallandale is going to have a whole lot of community of interest with somebody living out in West Miramar. That would be a big concern for me. Thank you.
Are there any other committee members? Thank you, Ron.
I have a question, Mr. Chair, about this community of interest. Can someone give me a definition of it? I know we may have had it in our glossary, but how are we defining it, and what is community of interest?
This is Jill Young, Director of School Boundaries. I also deal with this in the school attendance boundary process, and it is really the most difficult concept to put into words, because one person's community may be as small as the area in which they live in, whereas another person may drive all over Broward and participate in different events. So it is the least defensible in when it comes to considerations, but it is something of which the board wanted to put in the list of guiding principles to be considered, so input could be provided on it.
I think it would really be wise for the committee members to take a look at the Broward County redistricting process and look at the public comments there, because this question came up a number of times, and the responses were the same as what Jill just said, was that nobody could define it.
So as such, Mr. Chair, I would say that we shouldn't be confined by that concern, that phrase, because we haven't been able to define it. We haven't come to a common agreement as to what community of interest is. That's just one response to that comment. And again, personally, this second map here, the vertical, is not something, it's just an idea. See what it would look like. What if? I'm not wedded to it. Nobody that I know of is wedded to it. But the first one with the horizontal
We do would like to explore that further because it does make sense. Gerrymandering is not part of the process. It should never be, should never have been a part of the process. But that was the reality of our history. And we are at a different point in history. And now we need to begin to look beyond those historic constraints. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Roland. We're now going to our next agenda item, which is public comment on previously presented maps. The previously presented map was map alternative one that was presented by City of North Lauderdale Commissioner Jerry Graziosi on May 9th. Are there any members of the public that would like to provide a comment on that map? Just come to the microphone. Actually, yeah, come around this way. Well, it's, you know, it's as a former member of the diversity committee, I must say, Roland, as the current chair, if you could note, like, some of the things that are hazards that you should note for, this might be one of the schools that you put on the list.
It's already ADA uncompliant.
And if you could just state your name for the record.
My name is Bob Sutton. And I just have...
And your address, just for the record.
8954 Shadowwood Boulevard, Coral Springs. 33071. And the question is, with all the redistricting and all these wonderful people in this room and all this talent, has anybody considered how disenfranchised the students at Margate feel because they don't have their own high school to go to? And that hometown feeling of going to your own high school is not being mentioned, especially for the students at Margate.
Thank you. Are there any other comments on map alternative one? Is there any committee comment on map alternative one? Okay. We're now moving on to item 6.5, general public comment on the redistricting process.
Just quickly.
Sheila?
I have had some concerns about map alternative one. As long as we'll have an opportunity to comment on it at a later date, I'll hold them.
The committee, as part of the process, well, let me address some of that during the chair's report, which is the update. Okay. Right now, it's just actually, we're moving now to general comment now, yes. So, just come to the microphone.
Jerry Graziosi with the City of North Lauderdale. To the question that was issued first, I was saying no because the question that was brought up by the committee was, are the cities getting the maps? That's what I heard back there. I agree that, yes, the cities were notified of the redistricting process. I was saying no to the question that the cities are not receiving the maps. I get an email. I brought it here today. I get a lot of emails from Charles Webster advising me of everything that's going on. The redistricting came that way. But we have not seen anything since the process started that there were maps. We got the deadlines, we got the dates of the meetings and the map, but nothing. And since I've been involved in this process, to go back to another question, why aren't the cities participating? Well, since I've started this, I've had two cities contact me, Margate and Coconut Creek, both the city commissioners. If you look at alternative one, Margate is in their zone. That part of the city goes to Coconut Creek, the other part up to Coral Springs. So the people that are in their zones will be voting for members that actually represent their schools. But when I talked to both Coconut Creek at a Broward Northwest Council meeting of all the representatives from the cities in the Northwest, when I advised them of the process, that's what turned it away. Because they're looking at, and I did speak to a commissioner in Margate, they said, okay, we want Margate to be in this group. We don't want to be in this group, we want to be in this group. And they said, it's not that simple. If you take from one, it's going to create a domino effect. Yeah. I mean, I learned that going through, and I bet you everybody, no matter what you move, that little polling, that little precinct, one precinct may not have anybody in it, then you move another one and there's 10,000 people in it, and you're sitting there going, whoa. And some of the lines are because of the precinct lines. They're not like, did all of us, you know, did we get together and smoke something and then come up with this? It's the precinct lines. The precinct lines are what drove. It's not boundary lines. It's not TAS. It's precinct. So when I explained to them that you just can't take Margate and put it wherever you want because it's going to affect all the other districts. And as soon as I said that, and I got to tell you, I went through the same thing. The only reason I was asked to do it is because I've been to every school in this county working with the district. I've been in every area. I've been on every boundary meeting for 30 years I've done this. So they said, Jerry, you've been all over it. Try to come up with something. So I did. I tried with Andrew from our staff. We tried to come up with something. But as soon as you, as soon as I told city officials that you're not just dealing with your city, whatever you do, you got to take care of Southwest Ranch. You got to take care. And they're sitting there going, we don't know anything about that. We don't know about their area. We don't want to sit there and say, let's move this city or the, you know, community or whatever lines you want to come up with. As soon as I said that to both Coconut Creek, Margate, and the other officials that have been at the Northwest Council, they sat there and they said, we don't mind doing it for our zone, the Northwest section, and maybe the Northeast zone would get together and do their, the city, if there's groups in Broward like Northwest, Northeast, South, if their zones got together. But they feel uncomfortable saying, you know, the people up north saying, we feel uncomfortable doing Fort Lauderdale, or we don't know their all their situations. So we basically stuck our neck out there. And, you know, we had a concern when you talk about community. That was the reason I got involved. I lived in the unincorporated area. I've been in this county almost my whole life. I was raised in Miami and moved up here. But we were unincorporated. You talk about not having a community. Try living in the unincorporated area in Broward. Yeah. Up until 6 years ago, yeah. And then when I got annexed into North Lauderdale, Christian Jacobs and I set up a committee to help unincorporated areas because there was no assistance to help them pick and what to ask when they were being annexed. You know, and there was an issue with that. So when we got annexed, now I got one school in one district and 9 schools in another district, and the last 2 board members I had didn't even know the school was in their zone. That's about community. The crew were voting for people that had nothing to do with our schools. And my neighborhood, we're looking at this, that maybe after this process we can try to fix some of the boundary stuff because, you know, they're all over. My neighborhood is a 2-lane street, and the kids on my side of the street go to Coconut Creek, and Silver Lakes, the other side of the street, they go to Lauderdale Lakes and Boyd Anderson. Not a major road. That's what we try to do at our alternative. Not a natural boundary. Not a major road. And the kids are going back and forth. They know how to do it. It's been that way. It has never changed. The 40 years that I've lived in North Lauderdale, which is now North Lauderdale, nothing's changed. Have the roads changed? Yeah. Now we got kids living in my neighborhood. They're bused to Cypress Elementary School.
If I could just ask you to...
But I'm just trying to tell you how we've talked about community. I just want to give it to you from the neighborhood, from the city. I can do both sides. And I'm telling you, they just don't know. I think it needs to be done by a zone and get the cities in the zone to do something where they... Neighboring cities, they just don't know about the other areas.
Thank you. Rose?
Road to Water, 615 Northwest 6th Avenue. I just want to comment on what you said up here regarding that there are basically 2 representatives, you know, in the 7 districts. And that is true with number 8 and 9. They are, you know, wide. But however, dealing with Alternative Map 3 and Alternative Map 2, according to how he has like 4 different, that would be like 4 plus that 1 at large. So you would have 5, and those who have 2 would have 3. And so when I said the 1, I was speaking in terms of the 1, then the 1 at large. 2 at large would be 2. As opposed to having 4, then those 2 at large. So that's a lot of representing going on for that. So that's where I was coming from, and I just wanted to make that clear.
Okay. Thanks. I think that map would almost, Mr. Post presented, would almost create then completely at-large districts in some cases. Mm-hmm. So I would have achieved that one way by doing it without a ballot measure. Dave Thomas, do you have a general comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You have no enviable task, ladies and gentlemen. As a former school board member, you got your work cut out for you. Jerry, I did visit all the schools in my district, including those in North Lauderdale. Looking at your presentation, Mr. crosswalks, the greater the distance you travel, the less they're going to be visited. So that's one thing to keep in mind. It's, even though it's a part-time job as a school board member, you still got to get out there and visit those schools. And the farther away they are, the less they're going to get visited. So I think you're doing a commendable job. I really do. Stay at it. You'll come up with something. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that have a general comment? Without seeing any, yes, ma'am, if you could just come to the microphone, state your name and address.
Carol Smith, excuse me, 4047 Northwest 115th Avenue here in Coral Springs, 33065. I have never had any children in the school, so I'm talking as a kind of an outsider for children, for not from here. So innovation zones and the other, I really don't understand. But I have not seen any map that looks at combining cities. And pretty much you can go through most of the map, most of Broward County, except for Pembroke Pines, Miramar, and the very heavily populated areas that do stretch across. You almost have to divide them. But I'm wondering if that isn't an exercise that you might get communities of interest a little better, putting, say, Coral Springs, Coconut Creek, and Margate in one, Tamarack, and then Lauderdale Lakes, and all the others, and another one, and so forth, it might be. The other thing I wanted to point out that I'm not sure people really realize, by delaying your redistricting that could have been done or should have been done in 2011 to now, the new school board members will not be elected until 2014. So what happens in 2013 is just, you know, you're going to, the school board will approve a map, but there won't be anyone newly elected until 2014 using the new districts. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other members for general public comment? Seeing none, we're going to close the portion of the public hearing and move to item 7, the chair's report. I'm going to make this very brief. First, again, I apologize for us moving, changing the location from the auditorium to this room. The other, the auditorium had an orchestra pit. It was also rather disorderly and was not suitable for our use this evening, which staff, I want to commend Patrick and Beacon, actually, who all very quickly moved everything up into this room to get us set up and trying to make sure that we were prepared to start on time. For members of the public leaving, I, before you leave, I just want to thank you for coming and providing your public comment and showing interest in this process. At our next meeting at the District 5 public hearing, under new business, one of the items I'd like to have is a discussion of future meetings that we have to come up with, a schedule of our summer dates. And that is in relation to the school board. While it was not required for the school board to approve the modification that we made to our timeline for our activities throughout the months of August to December, there was nothing mapped out by the board for us to go by a timeline or different steps. And it was one that we identified at our District 1 public hearing. And that was workshopped before the board. The board approved it. They were actually very supportive of that process, the way for us to go forward on that. And each are very proud of each of you that stepped up to serve on this committee. And that meeting, if you like, is you could access it on Beacon by going to Beacon On Demand and then pulling up the May 22nd board workshop. And I think it's probably like two-thirds the way through. It's about an hour long, that section, so that you can see some of the conversation. The mapping workshops, I just want to thank staff for putting in the time for the mapping workshops 1, 2, and 3 in each of the administrative areas. I know that we did not get the public participation that we had sought. I know that was the one, the District 3 is, the mapping workshop 3 is where Mr. Folks actually took advantage to create maps, and I want to thank him for taking that time and making sure that we really honored what those workshops are for, and so we had some there. I'll let you explain that.
You know, tonight's meeting, we did have several school board candidates for District 4 and a former school board member. The process does encourage that, as this is something that would be of interest to them, and I'm very proud that they actually each took time to attend to familiarize themselves with some of the issues that we'll have here. We're going to go to the staff follow-up, and if I could, if Jill, you could mention that one thing, but also if staff could provide, the member of the public, I think, is not in the room, I don't believe, but just for the record, to reiterate or explain what innovation zones are.
First, let me just start just with the definition of what an innovation zone. In Broward County Public Schools, innovation zones are a means of communication up from the elementary to the middle to the high school level, whereas there are typically 4 to 6 elementary schools that feed into 2 middle schools, and those 2 middle schools feed into 1 high school. So they're all a collaborative effort for an area to communicate and provide activities and get together to do things at student and parent level. However, as far as geographically, an innovation zone technically is actually the boundary of the high school. So, you know, it's a concept, but it's also a geographic area.
One last thing. Yes,
Jill, Ron. Are most of those confined geographically in within one city?
No. Let me just let you know that here in Broward County Public School System, it's a district-wide county system, and we have typically state and local laws that regulate how we utilize each attendant school's facility space. So when rules are beyond the limitations of what the school can accommodate, sometimes we have to change those attendance areas or those zones to meet the mandate that we have at that particular time. So, and normally those attendance areas, whether it be elementary, middle, or high school, they don't always follow a certain boundary, because there's many things that play a part of attendance areas, such as we try to get the most children feeding as much as possible, say 100%, into the next level. We also try and draw the boundaries so that there's enough attendance to follow major roads or natural barriers that we have here in South Florida, but so that they don't overflow a school. So there's a lot of things that play a part of drawing attendance areas, and sometimes they will not align with certain municipal boundaries.
But my question is, do you try to, I mean, we're sitting here in Coral Springs, almost not quite the center of the city, but you try to, I mean, the 2 junior highs and X number of elementaries that feed into this high school.
Well, look, we don't have a prioritized set of guidelines other than what we have to do locally and by the state statutes. Other than that, everything else is a consideration. And when it comes up to the community that they would like to be all in one city going to one attendance area, that's something the board has to consider. But legally, it is not mandated that they fill their schools. You know, sometimes there's so many, depending on where the children live and so forth, one school cannot accommodate all the children within a city within that innovation zone. So it's just something that's looked at. We understand that people work and play and want to do business where they chose to, which is in their city. But it is a district-wide school system and not a city-based school system. And it's very difficult for people when purchasing homes to understand that you purchase in the city, your taxes don't go to city-based schools, it goes to a district-wide system. That helps. Exactly, right. There are sometimes I hear all the time that I live on this line and my neighbor lives on the opposite line and I can throw a rock to the school and hit it. Why can't I go to that school? Well, there are, you know, a lot of competing interests, but primarily we have to meet what's called school concurrency level of service. We also have to meet period by period class size. These are local and state mandated things that the district has to do. Everything else is a consideration that. The other thing I wanted to bring up, just as a reminder, that through the mapping process, flow chart. The committee has allowed staff to provide mapping assistance from March to June 28th up until 5 p.m. So anybody out there, including committee members who want to establish, set a two-hour mapping session to draw a map, must get a meeting established prior to that time, June 28th at 5 p.m. And then after that, people can still submit maps 2 weeks before the last redistricting meeting. I believe that's
July
11th. But they would be submitting that via the My District Builder file extensions or the hard copy maps. But I'm going to tell you, it's much easier to come take your ideas, bring them, at least, you know, get some sort of idea that you're headed in the right direction based on what you want.
Patrick, if you could pull up the on the district on our website, the map appointment schedule. There have been some additional appointments that the public has scheduled. I know Rose and Roosevelt actually had scheduled a meeting with district staff. And I know there's one, is it you, Ron?
Yes.
You have one with district staff as well. So
on the 14th.
These are public meetings, so you are permitted to attend if you'd like to observe. If you're limited to observing, if you would like to attend one of those as they're coming up. So just be certain to continue to monitor this page on the website on a regular basis to see if something is coming up that you want to sit in and observe.
So I just want to thank Ms. Barbara Proctor for filling in for our regular parliamentarian. Patricia McDougall, she Patricia's receiving some training today, and they typically kind of assist each other. So we do have parliamentarian assistance still.
There's no unfinished business, so if we could just move to new business. I know that Mr. Busey, you wanted to bring up discussion on the rules. So Patrick, if you can bring up that section of the rules.
Mr. Chair and committee members, I want to address a problem which has to do with the relatively limited public participation and the relatively little activity as far as map making. I mean, we've been here for 6 months since January, except for 10 minutes that was allowed. And I do appreciate the chair for allowing a little extra expansion in terms of public comments than what was really in the rules. But for 6 months, we've allowed a total of 10 minutes spent on map presentation and then 2 minutes for public. And I don't think that's enough now that the spigot of public participation seems to at least got to a trickle. I don't think we should shut it off. And my motion is that we allow each presenter 5 minutes to present each alternative map, limiting presenters to a total of 2 5-minute slots per meeting. So, in other words, if someone comes in with 3 maps in one meeting, they get 2 minutes. If they come in with 2 maps, they get 10 minutes. So, in other words, it does not limit the presenters to 5 minutes per session, but 5 minutes per map up to a total of 10 minutes per meeting. And that is my motion. Hopefully I can ask one of you to provide a second.
It's been moved by Mr. Busey. It's been seconded. Patrick, if you can put that motion up on the screen,
yep,
as we agreed we would be doing with our motions. And I have Jill is turning to the page of our rules in our committee just to make sure that we've hit on everything so that we hit this point. While Jill is looking for that, is there a discussion on the motion?
I
Sheila?
Candidly support that idea, so I would take call for a vote.
Okay. Any other discussion?
And just to, so we're consistent, let's put, say, map alternative, because we
yes,
use
I agree.
That language elsewhere. Yeah.
Mr. Walter,
I have a question for the motion maker. In your motion, you given the 5 minutes per map alternative to the presenter. I want to be sure that we give equal time per map that we're giving out, 2 minutes for the public. If they're going to present two maps, I want to at least have double that amount of time.
Okay.
What you consider,
yes,
as a friend.
Let's handle,
what I would say is, if we could ask, split the motion into two motions, and we'll handle first the map presenter as one motion, and then go to public comment as a second motion. Would that be okay?
Well, you would need a second.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we'll handle this part first, and then we'll come to, we'll revisit then the public comment portion.
Yes.
So does that,
Ron?
Does that mean that this gentleman can come back next meeting and discuss his maps again for 10 minutes?
No. Map presenters are only able to present their maps once. The public, though, however, is able to comment at every different public hearing.
Okay.
And that's as was established by the committee and agreed to by the committee.
Mr. Phillips, can I add a little change here just to clarify for Mr. Aronson? At the end of the sentence, maybe it would say 10 minutes per meeting at the time of presentation.
Yeah, per meeting makes you think you could go to another meeting.
Okay. With that, is there any other discussion on this motion?
Yeah,
he'll capture that. That'll be captured when they clean up the mess. All right, we're going to take a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say no. The motion passes unanimously. Okay, Mr. Walters, I recognize you. Do you want to address the public comment portion?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd just like to make a motion that the public, when commenting, will have at least 2 minutes per map alternative, up to 4 minutes.
Second.
The motion's been moved by Mr. Walters, seconded by Ms. Ellison, our Vice Chair. Is there any discussion on the motion? Mr. Busey?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I don't know that I want to limit it to 4 minutes, because if there's three maps being presented and a person hasn't seen the third map yet, they may not want to squander their 4 minutes on the first two maps. If this were a problem with excessive public participation, I'd say, yeah, let's keep it 4 minutes, but I mean, would you consider a little bit more lax?
What I would say, Mr. Busey, Jill is actually pointing out on page 5 of 6, in the board's resolution, it states the chair of the committee may reasonably limit the time of a member of the public to speak. But as you can see, I have been, I think, rather lenient in providing people, and I think that's been the will of the committee. The majority is to allow individuals to finish, and I think I've exercised that. So I think I'm fine with the motion that was presented, and I've heard the concerns of the committee, and I have not told anybody, your time's up, you know, and I have no intention to do that either, that abruptly. So, you know, I don't know if there's any further discussion. I'm supportive of the motion as it's presented, but, there is also, the public is permitted an additional 2 minutes under general public comment, or if they wanted to provide any last-minute things that they wanted to touch on, that they are permitted to use those additional 2 minutes at the end of, you know, the map alternative discussions. Ms. Latham.
Could we just stop at 2 minutes for map alternative? So that means any map, they could have 2 minutes for map.
The issue, I believe, was, if I go back to the previous motion, was the intent that somebody could present potentially three maps. So then an individual... Right, so then in this motion, it would change then the 4 minutes. Then they'd have to do their three, they'd have to speak to the three maps within a 4-minute time period. Now, in many cases, it is a general, it'll probably be a recurring theme of their interest that may carry over in different map alternatives, but I just need to know from the committee what direction.
Yep. Do we also want to add at that particular meeting of the scheduled presentation?
I think at all meetings is the appropriate.
All meetings. Okay, because I just want to make sure, because you're leaving that hanging as well per minute, rather than saying on the date of the scheduled presentation or whatever, so they want to, you understand?
I think per meeting is
per meeting?
Patrick?
Well, where that'll come into play, really, is only if you have a situation, another situation where somebody, presenter, generates more than two maps in one sitting. Because if not, the way the agenda is blocked out, that speaker would have the next section, either 6.4, 6.5, for the old maps to speak. What's going to happen, though, is when we move to, say, the next meeting, where you have now three maps under the old maps, the speaker coming in would then only have up to 4 minutes to speak upon all of those old maps. So as the time progresses, as you get to July 25th, and you have, say, six maps in the queue for old maps, they would only have up to four minutes to speak to all those maps.
Yeah.
Essentially, you'll have to get to that time period where reasonability.
Mr. Walters, and then Mandy.
You make a good point. If they had six maps, you got 4 minutes. But suppose we come to the meeting next month and you created 30 maps.
Yeah.
Do we give 60 minutes? See, that's the problem.
Yeah, it's reasonability.
So there's got to be a stopping point for the public to provide input. You wish you could hear everybody out. But if you have a bunch of maps and when we come to District 5, Mr. Folks and myself, we're going to have about 100 people waiting on us. Right, Mr. Folks? You get the 99, I got the one.
Hold on. Actually, let me call Mandy first, and then Jill, I'll call you next.
I was just going to offer a friendly amend this motion to just say 2 minutes for map alternative. You know, from what, and this is my first meeting, but I've read the minutes and the agendas from every prior meeting, and I think that what we really want to encourage the whole process is really about public input.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever can be done within reason to generate additional public input, I think we want to try to take opportunities to do that, even if it's dealing with the 100 that may come. That would be wonderful.
Do you want to offer that as an alternate motion now, or do you want to wait for Ms. Rose, and then we'll come up with an amendment?
Yes, for amendment. And I accept.
You accept the amendment?
Yes.
And is the second accept the amendment?
Yes.
Okay. Comment on the amendment.
And what about another friendly amendment that would be 2 minutes per alternative, not to exceed 10 minutes, so that it would balance?
But you've
gone back and then undone what she
said.
What I think I heard Ms. Rose doing was address your concern, though, to make sure that someone who had wanted to speak on a possible 30 maps was then limited at some point. Ms. Wells expressed that our interest is to get that. Now, what I just need to caution the committee that, you know, I'll stay as late as it's needed for myself. And I just need to know that the committee is also committed to staying and hearing the public comment.
I am.
So
okay. I am.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the question would be, should we allow us to stay beyond a certain amount of time because of employee
we can go
issues?
Let me just, the staff is raising a concern that the meeting is scheduled between a certain time. The meetings, our meetings, we do not advertise an end time, and that is one of the things we address. That's why we don't have to deal with, at 8 p.m., a motion to extend the meeting. Now, while there may be an issue with scheduling the facility, that is another issue.
My concern would be that people have an expectation that if you say a meeting is from 6 to 8, they may have obligations they plan for and may not be able to stay. I'm just going to give for example, maybe SIU or just anybody who has something to do, and therefore we don't have that person at that meeting to talk to that redistrict, and they weren't expecting to stay that long. That's my concern.
I think that's one of the things logistically we'll have a challenge we'll have to deal with when we deal with it. I think this committee's primary concern is to receive the public input as part of our process, and the board, the district, will have to address those other concerns, and I know that staff have put in a lot of time on this, and I don't want to be disrespectful of their time at the same time of my other comments. Mr. Busey.
Well, public meetings sometimes go offline. We're not encouraging that, but if that's what happens, that's what
there are going to be cocktails that goes after 10.
But let's get the wording revised according to the accepted amendment that was accepted. It's still not quite what Mr. Miller's says. That was changed.
Actually, our parliamentarian.
To make this easier, instead of doing it as a friendly amendment, perhaps you should have a formal amendment. So the first one would be a move to strike out the words alternative for up to. Strike out the words alternative. There'll be 2 minutes per map, remember the line before. So if adopted, it's going to read, have 2 minutes per map for up to 4 minutes per meeting.
No, we took that out.
It should be to strike for up to four
right.
minutes.
Ms. Wells would like to amend the motion to strike the 4 minutes.
To remove the limit, the total amount of 4 minutes per meeting.
Just strike the words for up to 4 minutes.
You want to strike out the word four and insert the word 10?
No.
We were not... The friendly amendment was not to cap the time, correct?
Correct.
Oh, your amendment. Sheila, yours was.
My proposal was that it was not accepted.
Okay, yeah. It was rejected. We now are back on Mandy's motion, which is not to limit the time.
Which was a friendly amendment.
And it was accepted.
By the members of the petition,
so. So the 4 minutes should still be in there.
It was.
No.
It was.
The first amendment was accepted. The second amendment was rejected.
So there's no time. For up to 4 minutes per meeting, then Ms. Wells would like to amend the motion to strike the 4 minute statement. And then Ms. Ellison seconded the original motion, approved of the amendment.
So we don't need that because that.
Right. So let me restate the motion then to make it. And Mr. Walters, I'm going to ask you just to affirm it. I know this is strictness to Robert's rules, but I think it's going to simplify what we're making very complicated. That should be just a 30-second thing. So, Mr. Walters, would you agree that your motion is for the public to have 2 minutes for map alternative? Period.
Correct.
Okay. And Ms. Ellison, is that the intent of the second of your motion?
Correct.
Okay. Is there any discussion on that as the motion?
No, but I'd just like to see all the rest of that disappear.
Right. Staff is going to capture what was just read.
Yes.
So,
yes. It's just
with all in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion passes unanimously. Okay. Is there any other new business? Ms. Marilyn.
Yes, Marilyn Sultanipour. In view of the comments that were made here tonight by members of the audience, and in an effort to get more input and have a greater communication with our cities, I'd like to make a motion that all map alternatives be sent to the cities as they are presented.
Second. Motion has been moved by Marilyn, seconded by Roland, to forward all map alternatives to the city prior to, as they're submitted.
As they're submitted to us, that they be submitted.
Can I ask that one of the ways that is that maybe we just forward the actual agenda, which would have that material?
That's fine with me.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chair, with the cover letter asking the town clerk, the city clerk, our manager, and mayor to post that material on their website.
That would be phenomenal.
So every city should have our material on during this period of time.
Perfect.
And that doesn't need to be in the motion, but that would be the cover part of it.
I have that captured, which helps.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other discussion on the motion?
I've got one question.
Mr. Walters?
I need a definition of who the city is.
It could be the city clerk, it could be the city manager, it could be the mayor and commission. However, we've been doing it before. It would probably be the city manager.
I just want to make sure that...
Mr. Graziosi, would you agree if we're sending something to a city that it would be the city manager?
In most cities, yes.
As noted by a city commission.
Mr. Chair, I would just like to
My recommendation, Mr. Chair, would be that you send it to the executive, whoever that may be, in the municipality, and CC it to the town clerk, the city clerk, and manager.
Okay.
Because somewhere along the way,
somebody will get
past
it.
Communications,
right.
The message has gotten through. If you send it to just one of them, it may not
get
it.
I agree. Yeah,
you keep this sort of run, and then
should maybe make a note that it's all elected officials within the city.
That will be one of the requests that would be appropriate. I'll make sure that's in the cover. Any other discussion on the motion? Paul?
Just as a matter of course, if you send it to the city manager, the city clerk, and the mayor, and you have a cover sheet, and you say something, please distribute or take action accordingly. It's been my experience that finger pointed at the other one, since the other one's doing it, nothing gets done. Rather than just send it to one point person.
And CC it there to the other two. Yeah, you have one point
right. Right.
But you CC it so two other eyes have seen it, sets of eyes.
All right. Latha?
I just have a question. Basically, Commissioner Gracias. Would it help if it went around to Calhoun and the League of Cities? Would that have better distribution?
No. That's
not.
That's another way.
We have not had success so far.
Okay. Just asking.
Yeah. I'm not sure exactly who is on this list. He's not here.
I mean, all the cities have a city clerk.
Yeah.
I get Charles Buster stuff every day.
Okay. So, any last comments on this motion? The motion is to forward map alternatives to the elected officials in the municipalities.
That's not what we're just talking about.
The maker of the motion, would you restate your motion?
Actually, I think that by the time the discussion took place, it was the full agenda was to be forwarded with all the... with
that's
the
how the mechanism we would
right.
be using for it.
So that would be the correct. And it would be to...
So do you want to amend the motion that the included in the distribution of the distribution of the agenda would be to the appropriate individuals at the cities?
Yes.
Okay. And is the second to that motion in agreement?
Aye.
Okay. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. The motion's been adopted. Is there any other new business?
I just want to thank the City of Palm Springs, the staff, because I sent the materials regarding, you know, our emails regarding this public hearing to them. And as I understand it, to point out to all of their volunteer committees and to a whole lot of people. So I do want to thank the staff at City Hall that sent this out.
I need to agree with you. While I was a little harsh in some of the cities, it's not, in the case of Coral Springs, it may be a little bit displaced in the sense that it is one website that keeps popping up when I have a Google alert set for redistricting and Broward on schools, where it does show up in their city's website several times. Mm-hmm. So it is. I am very pleased about that. It is one of the cities that has actually used their website to help promote these efforts. So. Are there any other new business? Are there, Mr.
The new video.
Oh, yeah. part of the, which is going to have to be, I think, now one slide re-recorded. If, before we leave, do you have it?
Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave, it's a quick 5 minutes, I think, hopefully, or maybe
it's longer.
10?
Yeah, about that.
All right. What I'm going to do is this then. Rather than play it now, unless
just you,
you want it to see it now. Yeah. I went ahead and went into the district like the day following the board workshop because we had changes in the guiding principles and we had a change in our timeline process. I worked with Patrick. He amended the PowerPoint presentation. And instead of using Beacon to speed up the time and the quality also actually came out better, Patrick, through his own musical talents, brought in his own sound equipment and did a voiceover to the PowerPoint presentation that was in there. So the video, instead of there being an actual video, it's actually the PowerPoint, and it's a much better quality. So what I would recommend is when you have a moment, download it. It's about 26 megabytes, and if you could download that from your, you know, from the website and just view it when you have a moment. And I think that Patrick will have to look at that one slide where we just amended the rules on public comment, and I may have to come in and just amend that slide, the voiceover for them. So I want to thank you for that time. It's on the website, on the welcome page, is it?
Yes, it's on the...
just show everybody quickly.
It's on the overview page. You can find the link there. It's also under the contact page as well at the bottom.
And when you go, when you click it, it's going to take a few minutes to download, as it's about 20 to 30 megabytes large. So, and it downloads to your computer, unlike where the other one actually just played off of the internet. You'll have to allow this one to actually download, so give it a little time.
So. But it's a self-playing PowerPoint, so it'll go through the slides and the audio.
Is there any other comment?
Mr. Chair, I just was about to hand out the presentation. The origins of the horizontal version. So I'd like to pass that up.
Sure. Any other business announcements? One thing I don't think Jill mentioned. When do you start the board's, the district's closed on Fridays?
It starts next Monday, and so the first, that'll be the first Monday the 11th. At the beginning of the week, the district is closed on Fridays for summer. I think it extends until.
I'm going to have Patrick email that date out so everybody knows when that starts. And just thank you again for your patience with the late start today. And with I was a little frazzled with trying to get the room settled and appropriately.
Thank you for doing what we wouldn't
so, well, I actually, before you all got here, my shirt was completely wet with sweat, and I was cleaning off every table with Windex. So I want to thank you. So without objection, that this meeting is adjourned.